Hello and welcome to the another episode of Beyond the Score, the podcast where we at Khelnow speak to the newsmaker from the Indian sports world. I am your host Ashish Nehi. Okay, today we have a very special guest with us. When he took over the reign of the national team, Indian football team in the summer of 2019, the sport was undoubtedly on a high following a successful AFC Asian Cup 2019 campaign. However, subsequent 3 years have been full of ups and downs for the fans of the national football team. With COVID outbreak, not just in India, throughout the world, it was very difficult to continue the development in the sports in India. But I think ultimately India has qualified for the 2023 Asian Cup. We can sum up the last 3 years being kind of a successful for the national team and for the head coach of the national team, who is our special guest today is Igor Stimac. He has been an agent of change. He has been fortnight and outspoken about many of the issues in the domestic game. It's a warm welcome to the India's head coach and former Croatia international Igor Stimac. Hi coach, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me at your show. And it's a pleasure to be here with you and answer your questions.
It's been 3 years, and I've been always looking to speak with you, to get opportunity to speak with you one-on-one, to know more about your philosophy, how and what you want to do for Indian football. I think unluckily we didn't get much chances in last 3 years, but I think finally we are here at one platform where we can speak. So coach, I just want to go through when India's job got available in 2019, what was the motivation for applying for the job, and did somebody approach you from the Indian football to apply for the job, or you thought I think this is a good opportunity for you to continue your career in the coaching?
It was really simple, to be honest, because after I finished my work in Qatar with Al Shahania, I decided to take the break, which took maybe 6-7 months. I was visiting some coaches, watching football games, analyzing football, keeping in touch with football evolution. And then, as in anyone coach life, the time comes when you decide to go for another opportunity. And when I was looking what's there on the table, it came out to me that Indian job is vacant, and I applied for it. It was simple as that.
And you got the job also, so in the simple terms.
And I didn't expect it, to be honest. I didn't expect it to get it. That was actually my first application for the job after the break. And of course, if you don't put your name there on the table, if you don't try, you won't get it, because I'm not kind of a guy who is having agents, representatives. I love to represent myself. I like to face people when we discuss football. I like to give my views on football and football evolution. What can be done? What can be achieved? And it was really simple for me, although, as I'm telling you, I didn't expect to get the job out of first opportunity it came to me, but I got it, and I'm happy that I got it at the end, because I see India, never mind that the challenge is very huge, it's massive in regards to the football situation in the country and the aspirations, but I love challenges, and where you can find so big challenge like in India, nowhere else.
Yeah. And coach, just wanted to know, what was the process for the job? Did you give any presentation, or did you give your ideas to the that time executive committee or technical committee of the AFF back in 2019?
Yeah, I think that my interview took more than 90 minutes with technical committee members. I'm not sure how many of them there, but I was feeling like in the classroom, maybe 15, 16 guys were there sitting around the table, and I was in the middle, giving my views on Indian football, on Asian Cup qualifiers, on potential candidates which were not in the team at that time, about the changes of football which need to be done to make Indian football successful. I was giving really huge views on the problems and solutions for the problems, and that's how we started, I think that the most important thing was that I was present there physically, because That makes huge impact. You know, when we speak virtually, it's one kind of interview, but when you present yourself physically, when you have opportunity to be close to the people who are listening you, it's very, very different. And obviously, thinking about sorting my visa on time when the call comes for an interview, it was the crucial point to get that job.
And when you, you know, gave your key points that what you want to do with Indian football, now 3 years afterwards, yeah, we are sitting here. Have you achieved those targets for yourself? I'm not talking about AFF side or Indian football side. For target you set for yourself, you know, what you want to do with India in 3 years. And we understand, you know, with the COVID kind of lost kind of 2 years in between, you know, with COVID. So are you satisfied that you have achieved those targets which you have set it for yourself?
I'm never satisfied. I'm not that kind of person. Otherwise, why? What to work on if you are satisfied? You know, I don't like comfort zone. That's a good thing about me, I think, because I don't like settling in a comfort zone that makes me uncomfortable. You know, because I love challenges. I love work based on all the tools we are getting today as a coaches, all the technical support we are getting. The numbers are really important, even they are not decisive, but they are telling you many things, you know, which are hidden behind, which just simple followers cannot find out about. And that's what I love about this job. And most of the time when we speak about football and who is going to play who, then we look at the market value of the certain teams on the rankings, you know, and then we think it's so simple, you know, this team is higher ranked than this one and they will win the game. But the beauty of football is that rankings doesn't mean anything, that the market value doesn't mean anything. That's the beauty of football. Everyone is there and everyone can win the game, never mind who is the opposition.
Yeah, and coach, so of course, when you applied for the job, you might have looked into the Indian team, which played in the AFC Asian Cup. So when you watched those games, did you made your mind about some of the players who are playing in that team, that you want to make these players core of your squad, you know, so somebody like Sunil Chhetri, Anil Thapa, Gurpreet Singh Sandhu, Sandesh Jingan, who are still part of your team. So did you made your mind, or you thought, you know, I will give everybody a clean slate and start from zero and decide after watching the, you know, of domestic season and at some players in the training pitches and then make your core of your squad?
No, obviously, I spotted the very important part of that team, which was the spinal part of the team with the goalkeeper Gurpreet there, with Sandesh Jingan in the middle of the defense and with Sunil Chhetri up front. But apart from these three, I spotted two brilliant guys with great energy, with great speed, and the third one with great technique. The last one I mentioned is Anirudh Thapa, and the two speedy ones were Ashik Kurunian and Udanta Singh. You know, I could see them clearly as the main point and focus on our work for the future, and obviously opening the door to all the others, especially to the boys from Under 17 World Cup project, which I found very, very ambitious as a generation, very talented, with a different mindset from the players we had until then, you know, because these were the players who were fearless, who were expressing themselves in the pitch in a proper way, players who didn't mind who they play against. And that is really important in football, you know. Mindset is giving you much more possibility if it's positive to win the games.
And, you know, of course, you touch upon the under 17 boys. Two players which I want to highlight, you know, who were kind of fan favorites before you came in the domestic circuit, especially, and who were not part of the Indian football team before you came. I think, of course, first is Brendan Fernandes, who went on to become a kind of a main.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Sorry to interrupt you, but I forgot to mention that I didn't only watch the Asian Cup games and games prior to that, and the boys who performed in the clubs in I-League and ISL. I also read many articles. I also wanted to feel the public opinion. I also wanted to find out which are the players the public mostly didn't agree with Mr. Constantini. You know, that was really important part. And then I could notice that Raul Beckham mentioned so many times why he's not with the team. Brandon Fernandes, why this guy is not in the team, you know, and few others. And that was clear sign for me that I need to give the chance to these players, that I need to find personally what was the reason these players were not involved in the national team. Of course, every coach has different views and opinions and the thoughts about the game style and what he wants to achieve and what are his methods in the training process, what kind of players he prefers. And I will not go into that, but obviously after having these players and giving the chance to them, I was really satisfied and I was happy that I gave the chance to them.
And Sahel is another player, you know, who was not part of the national team before he came. And
absolutely.
And that brought some excitement for Indian football fans straight away after the Asian Cup. And they thought, you know, they always believe that some of the players you mentioned that should be part of the national team. But I think with you have to give maybe Stephen Constantine a benefit of doubt, because he was preparing a squad for the 2019 AFC Asian Cup, and he kept the core after he first 2 years when he gave lots of players chances, and then he kept the squad the core very together since I think 2017 to 2019, and I think which you can say kind of worked in his favor. He qualified for the AFC Asian Cup, and India went on to win the first game, Asia Cup games in after a while, you know, after a long time. But again, fans were kind of demanding of the fact that, you know, these players are performing very well in the domestic circuit. They should be at least given chances in the friendlies and all. And my again, the questions was because of Brendan Sahel, they are technical players, under 17 World Cup players, they are all technical players. Did these players were also part of your core new philosophy which you want to implement, that, you know, you want to play the football by keeping the ball on ground instead of playing the long ball? Did that also made any difference to your plan that you want more technical players in the team? Considering the previous generation started their football when they were 13, 14 or 11 to 15. The generation of, you can say, Brendan Sahel, they started earlier. Now the new generation is coming who has started earlier than these. So that was another reason to select these youngsters in your squad?
Absolutely. You are absolutely right, you know, because when we started our job, I will bring you back 3 years. We set up the short-term goals and long-term goals. Obviously, short-term goals were based on changing the philosophy of the game, switching from kick and chase into more ball possession football, which obviously was the start of the process. First, you need to select proper players for that kind of a game. Then you need to make sure that your selection was good. Then you need to fight for enough time to work with these players to find the best 15, 16 players who will be the core of the team. And then you need to prepare for the challenges, you know. The long-term goal was opening the door widely to the youngsters from World Cup under 17. Using every opportunity and every chance to give them exposure, even suffering through that process, but making sure that they will settle well during first 2-3 years of our work. And then we're going to have a clear situation about our future. And that's where we stand now. You know, it was a long process. Even you said, you know, Mr. Constantine, for the first 2 years, he was opening the door to the players. He was giving chances to them. And after 2 years, he settled with the team. And that's how it works in football. You know, if you are working in the club, then it's much easier. But although you know and you follow football, you will see that Jurgen Klopp, it took him 3 years to settle down with the team in Liverpool. And that's the club. He is working with the players on a daily basis throughout 12 months. He's got budget. He's got possibility to signing players he wants, which is not the case with the national team. You are given the tools and you don't have others. Of course, there were some good things which I found out there, which are not favorable for the football. You need to understand what I'm saying now. You know, when we speak about short season, let's say, a short season is a handicap for our players, because time of the season is too long. They are not under supervised training process. You are never sure what kind of individual work they obtain, and the body is not used for the long-term process. Now we might face some problems, I need to tell you. We're going to get now to a point where the players going to be exposed for 50 games per season. But are their bodies prepared for that? Some of them will fall down. Some of them will lose the count. You know, that's one of the dangers we are facing now. The other thing is, coming out of this, which was good for me as a national team coach, you know, if the season finish in March, then I have more time for exposure throughout April, May, and prepare good for the qualifiers in June. Now, when season goes on for 8 months, I will not have that happiness, you know. So there are good and bad things in everything, and we need to accept that. But to be honest, I will not have problem as a national team coach if my players are under 8 months of training process and competitive games. Then all I will need as a national team coach is 2 weeks preparation if we want national team to go forward. Because people in India should understand that FIFA windows are the only exposure you get. And you have five FIFA windows throughout the year. It's March, June, September, October, November. And that's all you get as a national team coach. But these FIFA windows were made based on the situations of top five leagues in the world. Because these top five leagues in the world are owners of the players who are representing the countries. And FIFA couldn't do better. But FIFA needs to start thinking about countries like India and others who are in transition time, who need more time and more exposure for the national team. They cannot leave us as prisoners of their rules. Because if football is to go forward, this FIFA window rule needs to be changed for the rest of the world, apart from the five best leagues in the world. And you don't have problem, because I coached Luka Modric, I coached Ivan Rakitic, Ivan Perisic, and all these big stars from the Croatian national team. You don't have problem as a national team coach if these players come 3 days prior to the game to you. Because whatever you tell them, they will do. They have capacity to do it. They don't need many training sessions. But the stage of football in India is requesting us to spend more time with the players if we want to see our national team perform well and good.
So, coach, how many days ideally, say, let's take an example, say, couple of, say, next year onwards, we will have ISL starting early, you know, this season onwards. Say, we are in the November international window next year. Of course, this year, there is a FIFA World Cup, there is no November international window. So, 3 days is there for, you know, top teams in the world, top clubs in for the world. Say, how many days do you think the rising or developing country like India head coach needs before playing an international friendly in the November window?
As many as possible, not to hurt anyone. You see, there is no ideal, because ideal for me is hurting someone else. So there needs to be compromise. We need to keep all the stakeholders happy. And how to do that? We need to sit down every month at the round table and talk and discuss. Because everyone needs to be well aware that prosperity of Indian football lies on the national team success. No other point.
And
no one else can bring that. So everyone needs to sacrifice something to make sure that the national team can have enough time, enough exposure to go forward.
And this topic or this fight is very old, club versus national team. Not just in India, it's throughout the world we have seen this. To give an example, AFC Asian Cup generally take place in the January window. African Cup of Nations generally take place in the January window. And the top clubs in the world, they are reluctant to allow the players to leave, you know. And always there have been, you know, fight between these national team and the clubs for the same reason. And in India also, not just now, we have seen in past also when there was no ISL, just I-League. I-League clubs sometimes also reluctant to allow players to go for a longer camps, you know, during the international window, because the domestic calendar was never made in that way that, you know, there is a gap, say, for November window, for longer gap than other than FIFA designated days. And the another thing is, even if India can change their calendar, will AFC change their calendar? To give an example, if there is AFC Cup, AFC Champions League games are scheduled on those, you know, those days, can, so it should come from top, right? It's not just that AIFF or say ISL as a league decide that, or I-League as a league decide that they will give a national team coach more days. But what about if AFC put matches on those days?
You see, there is a basic problem in this, what you call calendar. Because the ownership on the league is wrongly placed at the moment in Indian football. If AIF is owner, as it should be, of the leagues, and someone who is making sure about the calendar and everything else, then there is no problem. Then the national team is priority. Then everything will be set up not to hurt anyone, but to make sure that the national team gets enough time for preparation. Simple as that. So some things will probably, and I hope, change in the future, in the near future. And we all gonna be there working together at the same table, discussing problems and solving problems. Because putting someone in front of others in our football family is not doing well to anyone, believe me.
And just closing this topic with the last thoughts of mine. So, ideally, as an Indian football fan, I've been for last now nearly 14 years, I've been in this circuit and domain. I ideally want my top players to play in European top leagues. So, coach, what if, say, tomorrow our first 11 are playing in Europe, you know, and a European club is not going to release our players as early as our national team head coach wants, then how we can deal with that? So, is it, we need to find a balance between the you know, world football or, say, top where football is being played right now in Europe and the Asia. You know, ideally, as a head coach, I think you will also love that your top players are playing in, say, not I'm saying the La Ligas and Premier League, say, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, even Croatia, for example. So I think
I will tell you one thing now, because I did say something about the player's value, but it was somehow misinterpreted, because I said that our players are overpaid. Not in a way to at all to underestimate anyone, but that's the truth, because if you look, and that's very clever by the ISL and the clubs, you know, overpaying the players to make sure they don't go anywhere else. But in that way, they can't go anywhere else. They will not go anywhere else because the prices in other leagues in the world are not even close to the salaries they are getting in ISL. So what could be something driving them out? At the moment, this is the situation I don't like about our football in India. Comfortable situation, you know. This is killing some of the players also. This is killing their hunger for the challenge.
Lack of,
and I understand that many things, yes, many things changed over the night with FSDL coming in and Reliance, which brought many good things in Indian football. Now, I think even half of the followers of football started follow football after Reliance got in, because there is a wonderful broadcast, there is a wonderful organization, and the management behind the league and all that. But we are suffering. We need to open all the doors to see what's behind it. We are suffering because I appreciate, you know, Sandesh Jingan, what he means to our national team. He's our rock. Okay, let's see. We have one center back with the leadership skills who is communicating everyone, who is making sure you are not conceding goals, who is keeping everyone tight. And I adore this guy because never mind the salary he got there. He went to Croatia in a club whose best paid player is 5,000 euros per month. You see, Croatian Football League is far, far better than ISL. Full of young players because we are developmental league. But salaries are there as they should be. That's the global price market, you see, which got nothing to do with the Indian price markets and salary of the players.
Yeah, so coach, I also personally worked in the in between 2016 to 2018-19 to took some Indian player out for trials in Europe, and some of them are also part of the national team, you know, to Norway, and we also took somebody to Lithuania also, to Denmark, some trial letters. Some players did went for trials, some didn't even acknowledge the trial letter when they receive, and that lack of ambition is there in Indian player. And this topic is very close to my heart. I really want to see Indian players playing out. When Gurpreet went to Norway, I followed each and every game. I was touch with the league where he was playing, and it was a very proud moment for us when he played in Europa League, for example, to became first Indian. But there is another side of story in this only. Because I was also discussing with this some of the former players and the current players in the Indian football. They also feel that football as a career option should emerge in India. So if footballer salaries are not good, no parents, because you know how Indian parents mentality are. They want their kids to be doctors, yeah, engineers, because salaries are good. They have a good career options. Now cricket, for example, have become a good career option because cricket have a good salaries in IPL and national team and everything. So the players were telling me, yeah, we understand some players are not going out. They are talented. They should be going out. And there's a lack of advisor also for those players. The advice they're taking from the agents and everything want them to stay in India because there's a big money involved. So they get a good cut out of the contract or new deal they sign. But they also feel that the salaries need to be good so that Indian football as a career option is attractive towards the, say, kids who are 5, 6, 7 for their parents, to put the kids into the football, soccer schools or academies. If salaries are not attractive, I think many of the parents might not put their kids into the academies and soccer schools.
Listen, that's no different to any country in the world. Parents are always afraid for their kids, and first thought on their mind is education, to make sure their kids have the future. So, no difference there. So what you're telling me that the clubs in Croatia should start paying more to make sure that the parents let kids go training and
but Croatia,
getting
Croatia
involved
has
in
the
development
football culture
program.
Is still lacking that football culture. The question is, will that also mean?
But, okay, you are right. But we had football culture in India. We had football culture. Huge.
Yeah, of course.
India was Asian champion. There were some great times in Indian football, you know, so, and of course there, at that time there was no money, at that time there was passion, at that time there was different, there was lots of more romance in football, you know. Yeah. These days also many parents are looking to cure their frustrations through the careers of their kids.
Yeah, you can say
their
that.
Kids should be allowed to make decision what they're going to become in the future. Simple as that. If someone loves football, if someone loves playing with the kids, no one will stop him. We have similar situations in Croatia. Similar.
I know, but you know, as a country, we are still on that phase where kids are allowed to take the calls for their career, you know, and especially when they are very young, because we want kids to take football when they're 4, 5, 6. And because that's where the basic should be taught to
yes.
them, and not
yes.
when they're 13, 14, 15. So because that was the
Absolutely.
Earlier case in Indian football. So I think when they're 3, 4, 5, it's the parents who take the decision. And I think anywhere in the world, if parents will take decision. But in India, of course, the parent decide that what kids need to study, what kids need to, you know, play, even if he wants to play.
No, but you are mentioning very early age. At that time, no one is making decision about clarity and future, you know. The decision needs to be made when the kids become 14, 15 years of age. Everything until then is just a game. It's a play. It's a playground, and the time you spend with your teammates, your companies, your friends on the pitch. And that will not hurt your education. You know that really well. So the time to decide is when your kid is 14 years old, when all the basic things were need to be learned about football, about technique in football, and then from there you need to start thinking more professionally, committing yourself more to football game, to your development, to organizing your nutrition, your body strength work, and all the rest of the things which are needed to become professional football players. So it's not about when you are 3, 4, or 5. That will not hurt you. if you are 13, it will not hurt you to get involved in the football games, be part of the football development and football pitch. But after 14 years of age, decision needs to be made. And that decision will be helped by the coaches who were in charge of the board, who will tell the parents, your boy is talented enough that he's got great chance for success. No one can guarantee you, because from 14 to 18 years of age is a very risky period. And you know that. You know. Some kids can turn this way, some can turn this way, some start like spending more time with the girls, some start to stop obeying the rules and all this. All sorts of things happen in this period. But if someone is brought up in a good and positive family, surrounded with love and with a passion, he will find a way to succeed.
Yeah,
I don't think that anyone from the parents is looking at the salaries and accounts of the players who are stars already, you know, to make that decision.
Yeah,
because every parent is just trying to make his kid happy. And how are you going to make your kid happy? Let him do what he loves doing and support him in that.
I totally, totally agree to you. But our culture of Indian culture is mostly is that, you know, what our neighbor's son is doing. That's what parents think. Oh, my neighbor has put his kid into the coaching institute. Let me put my kids into the same coaching institute. So it's more of
wrong
that culture
way
in
of
India.
Looking at things.
Yeah, I understand that's the wrong way, but that's how the Indian how to say culture is right now, you know, of course. And to give an example, cricket, even, you know, when the cricket got boom in India, cricket was not a number one sport, say, early 60s and 70s in India. Hockey, football was way above in the list of the Indian sports fan. But how the cricket got boom because of the money cricket got all of a sudden, you know, into the domestic circuit.
And now, when you mentioned that, let's speak about one clear thing. Do you know how many professional cricket players are in the world?
I think there are
many
top... I think it should be around 250 to 300, maybe max to max, because not many countries are professional cricketers.
191. And they earn pretty good money. Only 191 professional cricket player in the world. And how many professional football players?
That's a list is huge.
And they earn huge amounts, same as cricket players in India. Yeah? So parents should look at that way also. There is a much more possibility of succeeding in football than in cricket.
So I think maybe other than
numbers
football,
are much much higher.
We need to educate the parents also regarding the, you know, sports culture and the, say, football, for example. Let's keep the topic side now. Let's move towards the footballing action. You know, when you became the head coach after the AFC Asian Cup, there was a Hero Intercontinental Cup in India, which took place. You know, there was a Kings Cup straight after. You know, India played. And you won the match against Thailand, we lost against Curaçao, but there was new kind of philosophy which was implemented and fans were patient about, you know, what you're trying to do with it. But there were kind of, you know, lack of chances because we were not scoring the many, many goals at that time. Then the Continental Cup came, you know, and India kind of lost two games and we played draw against Syria. We did score through Chhetri in the against Tajikistan, two goals, and then Changte and Chhetri scored against North Korea. And then Narendra Gehlot scored that famous header, you know, against Syria. So I think it's a mixed outing. Again, the emotions were that, you know, the national team is a new national team. We're trying to do something. They need some time. But I think, again, as you told, as a national team coach, you don't get much time. So here come the, what was your initial, points to be from these games regarding your team? What you felt that need to be changed going into the World Cup qualifiers?
Yeah, we were looking to find a balance in the team for what we wanted to achieve. You know, we wanted a compact team with a good physical possibility of resisting the teams we are to face, like Qatar and Oman, because our aim was set to win the third spot in the group, which we did. So I don't agree when anyone says we underachieved. No, we didn't say prior to the competition, we're going to beat Bangladesh 5-0 or Afghanistan, I don't know what. We said our aim is to win the third spot to make sure India qualifies for the Asian Cup. and to make sure we make the team which will compete strongly for the next World Cup qualifiers. And that's what we are doing, and we are on our way. And if you look today, going back at the beginning of our work, these first few tournaments we used to find the balance in the team, which was affected definitely with the injury of Sandesh, who I always point as the main player in our team, you know. When I speak to Sunil also, I tell him, you know, it's for me, it's everyone is speaking about Sunil, what we're going to do after him, you know. And that's not my main worry. My main worry is what I'm going to do if Sandesh gets injured again. That's my main worry. Because it's much easier to replace someone up front than someone who is keeping tight your defensive line and who is organizing everything and commanding there and being the rock in the team. You see, so the people are missing the point most of the time. And also, of course, we don't need to mention how important is Sunil for us, but we are then also underestimating other players who are doing everything and preparing goals for him. Because it's not Sunil who is putting crosses to himself. It's not Sunil who is making the build-up from the back and coming on the wide positions to make sure that Sunil receives the ball in the box and scores the goals. So let's look at the wider picture. Let's appreciate more others who are working really hard for Sunil to score goals. And that's what he wants also, you know. He wants others to be appreciated for the hard work they are doing, which was not the case.
I think that's where the defense, you know, goals, yeah, of course, win you the game. Sometime, but defense will win you the group or the championship you need, you know, because on the longer term, and Indian defense have done well in recent time under you. But I think the praise for Sunil Chhetri is also more because of the lack of goal scorer we have in last 20 years, you know. We had I am Vijayan, the legendary I am Vijayan, Bhaichung Bhutia. And then
he's the one who is playing center forward.
Yeah.
Who should score?
No, yeah, I understand the lack of goal scorer, I'm saying, you know. I know, and he need to score, yes, the goals, but we are not the, say, secondary goal scorer to give an example.
You see, that was different now at the qualifiers in Kolkata. You could see that clearly, that we didn't suffer when we took Sunil off. We scored goals from each positions.
Yes.
All the players who were playing up front were there. They enjoyed the game. They were coming from everywhere at Afghanistan, at Hong Kong. I mean, how Ashik played, how Sahal played, how everyone, Liston, all the boys, Ishan. So let's have a brighter look at the future.
Everybody deserves the praise. I'm just telling, you know, the picture of why some might praise Sunil Chhetri extra, because also he's playing from 2005 now. So it's more than, you know, 16, 17 years we have been watching him, and I still get goosebumps of Sunil Chhetri scoring that hat-trick in the AFC Challenge Cup final in 2008, which took to India to the AFC Asian Cup. So I understand why fans sometimes, you know, praise him extra. And which is very, very, you know, kind of similar to why Ronaldo and Messi get all the praise in the team, you know. Even sometimes Luka Modric, one of your former player, has done very well, and you know, and he went on to win the Ballon d'Or also. So I think, and that's also the, if you see Ballon d'Or, the best player of the team awards, mostly are won by the forwards. We hardly see defenders or even midfielders or goalkeeper, for example, to win those best awards. And that's how the football is. Basically, strikers and the forwards will always have more fans than the defenders and the, you know, midfielders or goalkeepers. So I think it's the way the overall football also have been played worldwide. So coach, just want to come back to the World Cup qualifiers. I know nobody thought that India will directly go to the, you know, next round of the World Cup qualifiers. It's also the way we started the qualifiers. I think we were very close to win the match against Oman. India, I think that's one of our favorite game under you, by the way, because India did very well in that first 80 minutes, and of course we conceded those two goals. So nobody's hoping that India will beat Qatar or Oman, for example, but I think Oman game was very good in the Guwahati, if I remember. But then again, the teams like Bangladesh and Afghanistan, I know the kind of resources Indian football have, and in past also, we have won SAF championship multiple times. We have won SAF championship with our under-23 team in 2009, you know, and same thing in 2018 also. So we, as a fans, we always hope that, you know, I know all these countries are also improving. Bangladesh have been doing their, they have lots of development in their football. Afghanistan, we know, with the player playing in Europe or in US playing for the national team. But I think fans hope always hoped that, you know, we'll beat the SAF teams or South Asian teams. And that was the, I think, negativity started coming when we started, India struggled against, you know, and for example, India's second game was Qatar versus India, 0-0 draw. And then the expectation goes, you know, high for the fans that, you know, oh, we came very close to defeat Oman. Oh, we held the Qatar in the Asian champion in the for the draw at their home. And the expectation was high that now two games against two better teams, two higher ranking nation team, we got 1 point. Everybody's hoping that, you know, we'll defeat Bangladesh at our home, you know, and
Me too. And we did everything at that present situation, but you need to look back also. One thing is what we want, and another thing is reality. At that very crucial time prior to the Bangladesh game, I would say, if I remember well, we lost Sandesh and Borji, two vital players for our team at that stage, you know, which was obviously not good for us. And the main point was that we were not good in the build-up phase. The points we were executing on the training pitch, which we were working very hard on, were not there on the pitch for some reason. Is it the atmosphere? Is it the pressure on the players? Whatever it is it the pitch, which players considered at that time very slow and slowing the pass and the game, and they didn't want to take risk with many short passes, they opted for long balls. And that was not something we wanted and we were working on. And that led us into wrong direction, I would say, during that game. And I consider that game only the underachievement throughout the qualifiers for the World Cup, you know, only Bangladesh at home. I would say that the rest of the games were played at the maximum possibility by all the boys in regards to the circumstances, what was going on, what was following us as the team. Especially the hard thing was that after playing really good football in the opening two games against really strong opponents, expectations were going very high. And then after these two games, there was totally different football coming at us. From the position of being outsiders and playing maybe middle press or low press and going to counter-attack, we were now in a position to fully control the game, to have the build-up from the back, to open the wide positions with individual or combination in doubles, in triples, you know, on the sides, and put many crosses and score goals, which was totally different football. And even in the club, it's difficult to do that, to make such transition in such a short time. And we were not yet ready for that, especially with the injuries we suffered at that time. But obviously, nobody cares about that, you know. We are representing India, and whoever is there with the shirt on, he needs to make sure that he makes fans happy. And believe me, we are the saddest one if we don't do that. And I wanted to go back to Kolkata, believe me, only for that reason, because we were in depth with the passionate fans there, with the football lovers and watchers, followers. And I wanted to go back there and to prove the point. And we did it, because I will repeat again, when you give us enough time, not to me, you're not giving time to me, you're giving time to your country, you're giving time to India to settle things down, to obtain enough work to make you happy. And that's the only way it will work. And you asked me prior to this how much time I need. You see, now we have already official calendar for the next season. Yeah. So if you look at the calendar, you will see that I have, not by ISL, I have by FIFA given 8 days for the camp. 8 days involving two games, two friendly matches we can play. If you consider that 18 is the first day when the club will release the player for the national team, some players will travel 1 day, some players will travel 2 days. And our first game is on 22nd or 23rd. So how many days we got left for preparation?
I think ideally just one day.
One or two. Is that enough? And this is what I'm given from FIFA, not from ISL. or from anyone else. That's what FIFA giving me as a national team coach. I'm asking you now how much I can get at the moment. I'm asking because FSDL is making the calendar. How much your national team, how many days is going to get from you to prepare well for the friendly games? And if we expect us to play higher ranked teams and to play well and possibly to win the games, we need more time to prepare, more time than 2 days.
Yeah, and coach, yeah, and in the same, you know, following game, we did good against Qatar. We just scored 1-0. Oman next game was 1-0. So I think it was overall, my expectation was that India will remain third, you know, but I think just the two games which didn't work in the favor. Then the SAF Championship came, of course, before the Asian Cup, and it was again difficult time, difficult start. We were struggling against the South Asian team. There were pressure from fans, you know, there were questions asked from the media. That time, General Secretary of AIFF came on record and said, you know, players should also take some responsibility of the result. It's not just coach who is responsible for the result. You know, same players are playing well in ISL. They're not doing well in the national team. So did that divide also happen in the dressing room during that time, or the dressing room was together? We ultimately went on to win the SAF Championship, you know, and I think that was a relieving moment for you and your coaching staff. But the starting of the SAF Championship was not a good, especially considering what media and the...
Oh, it's easy to explain that. I will save you words. It's easy to explain that. It's once again about time for preparation. Slow entering the tournament, it's just part of the process which was not there. You know that we went to Nepal to play two friendly games in the previous FIFA window as a preparation for the SAF. And it's not a pleasant ground, I need to tell you. And everyone was in India, you know, we need to win these Nepal games and all that. You need to go there and win the games. Yeah. Because these Nepali players are players with the strong characters. They might not have the quality, but they are players with a strong character, they are confident, and they come at you with everything they have. So you need to be ready for such a fight. And we won one game, we drew one game. First game was, I would say, poor. Second game was much better. We won that game. But then we were not together for full month, and then the SAF game. And I remember our staff doing analysis on after Sri Lanka game. We had 29 minutes of wasted game on throw-ins, on corners, on medical stuff, getting onto the pitch to help Sri Lanka players. They didn't even try to play football. They didn't even try. And that's killing your rhythm. That's killing your intention to play football, to do something good on the pitch. And these are not alibis from coach. These are the real numbers and what happened. Because we are not Real Madrid. And certain things and moves from the opposite teams can disturb your game in a big way. But you could see clearly that our form line on the south was going only like this. It was never this, up and down. It was just rising up. And if there were five more games with the same opponents, each next game would be more difference in goals for us. And it's again about the time you spend together and you make sure the team settles well, that you find the balance and everything is executed on the pitch in a proper way. It's only that.
And we had good, I think, okay preparation playing against Bahrain, you know, Belarus and Jordan before the qualifiers at Kolkata.
I don't even want to remember these games. Because when you have players, half of the team coming 1.5 hour prior to the game, to the stadium, then we shouldn't talk about these games. To be honest, I was carefully planning.
As a footballing country, India need to host these friendlies regularly at home only, instead of going away to play these kind of games.
We need to insist, because you know how big difference is playing at home or away. I will tell you now. Qatar beats Afghanistan at the opening game in the World Cup qualifiers in our group, and they beat them walking, not running. It was walking, I think 6-0. Walking. It could have been 20. It was 6. And then Carter comes to Afghanistan, to that temperature there where we went also, at the artificial ground. And Afghanistan should have won the game by 2 goals of difference. They were not lucky enough to win the game. They lost 1-0. That's how big difference is in football, playing home and away matches. So we didn't play single home game in last 2 years. Of course, we didn't have opportunity because of pandemic, because of everything what was going on. But if I say that, that's not looking for alibi. That's not. But we need to be well aware how big difference is playing at home and away games. And believe me, our supporters are our big strength. They are our big strength. And believe me, another thing, no one will like coming to India and play against us. No one. So we need to make sure we bring everyone here. And it will cost. We want to play high-ranked teams. Yeah, we need to pay. We need to pay them to come. Where is the money?
And another interesting thing I want to point out to, and I always believed also, India as a country can give you different climate, culture, atmosphere. You can be south, have a summer, can be north, having winter, high altitude grounds. And if that can be used, against technically, just like, Qatar, Afghanistan game example, for example, we have grounds, say, from the northeast of India or north or south, we can use any of these grounds, and this can work as a on the favor for the home team for India, and I think we considering we don't have much time, Asia, it's difficult to travel, to play back-to-back games. I think it's great that we can host these international friendly at home. And we did host it, the AFC Asian Cup qualifiers at home, and 3 amazing victory, I will say. And the crowd also went from first game to the last game, the goals, two goal in first game, 2 goal in the second game, 4 goal in the third game. Same way, crowd also build up for all these 3 games. First game, the official attendance was around 26,000. There were 44,000 in the next game and 48,000. These were the official numbers. I think crowd was way more than this. So that also tells that, progress the team made throughout these last 3 years with you, because, and you have pointed out that, the situation, why, how tough, and of course the pandemic was not easy for anyone. Now, we are kind of took you through the journey of your tenure with the Indian team till now. Next year, big tournament is coming. Do you think it's great that it is happening in the summer instead of January? Because summer will give you, a chance to have a, say, 1 month or 2 month camp if you require, which is you will require before the AFC Asian Cup.
I'm not sure, to be honest. It's same to everyone, same to everyone. But we don't know what's going to happen, to be honest, until then. You see what's going on in China, they had to postpone actually to get out of the organizing the AFC Cup. So what's going to happen? We need to still be careful and well aware about the danger which is following us. But also we need to be ready when the time comes. And how are we going to get there? Are we going to get there ready, fully confident about our capacity and possibilities of surprising some big teams there, or are we going to go there on holiday?
Okay, coach, so hopefully you will get all the resources and tools which you need for the AFC Asian Cup, before that we'll have some friendlies also. Have you any chalked out your opponents, or are you in talks with some teams which you want to play, or have you chalked out the plan for next year after the season ends, where you want to take these players? Still the host nation has been not decided, but have you have some kind of plan in place?
At the moment, I do have wishes only. Planning was not possible to do because of the situation in AIFF, and obviously COA, honorable COA members are doing everything possible. So the constitution is approved by the Supreme Court and the new president elected is there. But that will happen only in September, you see. And we don't have any decisions prior to that. We wanted to organize the camp in Kerala, and as per now, I'm really, really worried that we're going to have the camp at all, because there is no one to approve the budget, I cannot answer to those who are willing to come to India and play against us. And most of the teams are engaged already, so it's going to be very difficult for us to expect to find any opponent whatsoever, because the best teams in Asia, they agree upon their schedule for the national team 12 months prior to the game. Those who are in the middle range from positions, I don't know, 25 to 35, they are waiting a little bit and calculate to see who they can get, who is in form, who is not in form, so they can challenge them also. They are already engaged with everyone. So what will be left for us there? Playing again Cambodia, or if available, which is going to be difficult. No one will wait on us. So what to do? If you ask me, I cannot give you answers on this. I had a plan to try to push everyone to try to organize Hero Intercontinental Cup in September, which is obviously not possible at the moment. My wish was to have at least 2-week camp in September with one friendly game against Kerala and two international friendly matches, which obviously, when we speak about international matches, will not be possible. We might find ourselves in a position that we are left with organizing only friendly games with ISL clubs there in Kerala available, or I-League clubs. But and that's nothing bad, to be honest. It's good for a football promotion. It's good for Kerala fans, who I appreciate now and again for many, many great things in regards to following the national team, supporting the national team. Wherever we went in the last 2 years, there were Manjapada guys wearing blue and yellow also, and supporting national team and sticking behind us and supporting us with limitless love, to be honest. And maybe this is the time, if the time is there at all, to go and visit Kerala for this September camp. And if not any international game possible to organize, then we look to improvise something. That's for sure. But after that, March, and after that, there is no time for improvisation anymore. That needs to be strict plan, approved on time, with a great exposure for the national team, with games decided upon about the opponent we need to play. If there is a budget, then we can organize the games with the great and higher opponents. If there is no budget, then you know what happens then.
Yeah. Coach, still we have not got the clarification on the calendar side from the organizers. But I heard that during the FIFA World Cup, the league might take a break. Do you think it's a time where you can get your players together and maybe take up for a training camp or something, you know, outside India? Do you think that will work for you?
No, as per now in ISL calendar, there is no break, you know, because there is a few new old competitions following this ISL season, and I'm glad that players will be involved in more games, although not happy with the way everything was prepared, because as I see many of these ISL clubs who are participating in the Durand Cup, which is a great competition for everyone there, will not participate with the full squads and senior teams. Yes, because there is no enough training pitches provided for them to obtain training sessions in the preseason. You know, there is no floodlight for them, so they're supposed to train at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And all these things, these things need to be sorted prior to going back to these tournaments, which are great tournaments. And everything needs to be provided to all the Indian teams so they can enjoy their stay, the coaches, they can train and execute their pre-season plan. And then national team will be successful if everything is planned like that.
So coach, you know, we have talked about the club versus country. There was a, you know, club has as big as a role to develop the players and national team coach, and maybe club has a bigger role to develop these players. The pipeline of players which is coming kind of, you know, halted because of the COVID, you know, and that's throughout the world. Our youth football kind of been, you know, halted, youth leagues kind of stopped now. Our youth teams only get active during the AFC qualifiers or SAF championship comes. They are not active throughout the year. So my there are a couple of questions I have here from. Do you think that, you know, our youth teams need to be regularly playing football games, not just wait for AFC to announce the qualifiers? That's one. Second, do you think the country the Indian football team should have an under 23 active team, because you can't give every Indian player chance at the senior level, you know, because of lack of friendlies, as you said, the space are not there. You need to implement the playing style. You need to select your squad for the Asian Cup. Do you think we need under 23 team or under 21 team parallelly playing with a separate set of coaching staff who can follow your philosophy, but they should play regularly so the youngsters have a stepping stone before they can come to this
team? Let me put a simple question in front of you. How are you going to do that if our whole under 23 team is a senior team already?
I understand that, but there are still some more youngsters, right, who are on the pipeline, who might be part of your team going ahead. So they might get some exposure when they're playing for
the They need to be developed through the clubs. They are also part of the club system and competition, and it doesn't change anything. Club needs to release them. These guys are probably on the bench or taking some part of the minutes on the pitch also. So they are the same as importance of the regular players in the team. So if we speak about releasing such players, we come back to the same situation as before, talking about senior team players who are regular with the national team, you know. So that doesn't change anything. We need to understand exposure needs for the national team, senior and under 23, needs to be decided at the highest level. When I say this, I will tell you the story about Iranian football. When Carlos Queiroz went there, and I know this because I worked in Iran, and I mention Iran because Iran team is probably now with Japan, South Korea and Qatar the strongest Asian side, but not this year, for the last 10 years. That's continuity of good performances, of success and participation at the World Cup. So what the guy told them, okay, if you want to participate at the World Cup, I need minimum of 2 weeks preparation before every cup. So league needs to stop. It will suit the club coaches also, because if you give them 2 weeks time to recover their players from injuries, to work on the things which are not good in the previous games in the league, they will be happy to do that. And the national team will get enough time. And Queiroz qualified twice with Iran consecutively for the World Cup. And they had really good performances in the World Cup also. But that's when we say about exposure and the highest level of decision making. That's how that needs to be done. If we say now that we can expect from anyone to give us 2 months or 6 months or 12 months exposure time, who will give you that? That's not reasonable to expect or to ask. But the 2 weeks for a country like India, that's the minimum. That's the bare minimum if we expect our team to perform well, if we expect me as a coach to bring my ideas in front of the players and make sure they accept the ideas and they adapt to the ideas we need to perform.
Coach, as we are on the club versus country topic again, are you in touch with the ISL head coaches, you know, to give an example, your key players, you know?
Yeah.
You say Brandon is in the
middle. No, I can tell you, absolutely. Absolutely, some of the coaches were very short time there. There were changes in the clubs also, but I had continuous and great communication with Owen Coyle, with Ivan Vukomanović, with Manolo Marquez, lately with Juan Ferran, who switched from Goa to ATK, you know, with most of them, because it's really important for me to exchange information with the ISL coaches about the players, about the work, about the weaknesses, especially on the players. And we all know what was the problem in the last 2 years. You see, I am dependent on their work. The quality of my work depends on the quality of the work of ISL coaches. And if they don't have enough time for the preseason, if they don't have enough time between the games to regenerate the team and prepare the team for the upcoming game, if they don't have enough time to work individually with Indian players, not with foreign players, because no foreign player came to India for individual work, believe me that. But with the Indian players, then we can expect the growth of the national team. And for the pandemic reasons, last 2 years were terrible to us, because coaches and teams were put in the bubble without proper preseason time, exposing the players into risky and risk of injury situation, because if you don't prepare your body well for the upcoming games, which are coming every 3 days at you, it's a huge risk of injuries. And we had huge problems with that. You could see many players taped all over their legs, their back, their shoulders, but still playing games. And the players were pushed with minor injuries to play these games. And that was a terrible situation for our football. But the good situation about everyone involved there is that we still organized the competition in such a difficult situation, that football was alive and was going on. And then we were very successful in putting pressure on everyone to understand how important it is to change the foreign player policy in India. And that brought us to the point where we got exposure of so many bright, beautiful young players and talented boys who were there performing in ISL, and who we opened the door for the national team, and they made us happy now at the end of the cycle.
So, coach, we have talked about your coaching career, kind of. So, I just want to go back to your playing career. What are your memories from a playing career? You know, which make you happy whenever you say.
If there is any, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. So, still, what are those your favorite memories from your playing career?
Yeah, I was one of the lucky guys to win many medals and many trophies in my career, in my playing days. You know, when I look back, I was lucky enough to be part of, at that time, the best European academy of football, which was Hajduk Split Academy. I was happy to be one of few only who had the debut as an 18-year-old boy in one of the strongest European leagues, which was the Yugoslavian League at the time. Just to tell you one simple reason why I'm saying this, in Yugoslavia at that time, no player could leave the country before 28 years of age. They were not allowed to leave the communist country and go abroad and play and earn money. So you can imagine how huge concentration of quality was there in the teams. If you don't allow your best players to leave the country and go and play for Real Madrid and others, and they stay in your club for 10 years, how beautiful that was for the coaches also, and how difficult that was for the youngsters to break in, to break through. I was one of them at that time. You know, my generation was very successful winning under 18 Yugoslavian championship, playing the cup final, also winning all major tournaments in Europe, beating all these big sides and succeeding at such young age and becoming world champion in Yugoslavia under 20 in Chile in 1987 was obviously one of the major points of my career. But the good thing about that Yugoslavian team was that out of 11 players starting the game, 6 of us were Croatians. And later on, when Croatia became independent country, 6 of us were the base of independent Croatia becoming successful football nation. Although the sad point about our careers and our lives was that we lost 4 years of our football on the big stage, because Croatia was recognized by other countries as independent, but it was not recognized by FIFA and UEFA. These organizations take a little bit more time, you know, and we missed on one Euros and one World Cup. So our generation didn't have chance to participate in the World Cup 1990, 1994, and in European Championship 1992. So 2 World Cups and 1 Euro. So we appeared first time in Euro 96 in England. We had a great, great exposure at that tournament. And at that time, we were better than in France, to be honest. We were younger, we were in such state that we could beat anyone easily, to be honest. But for some reason, one of these guys in black at that time decided to take the justice in his hands, and he made some really strange decisions at the Old Trafford against Germany in the quarterfinals. And he just threw us out of the tournament for unknown reason, to be honest. No one knew what was behind it, but we were really sad. really, really disappointed as a generation of football players who were already recognized in the world at the club level. But as a nation, we still didn't achieve something greater than that, you know. And we waited our chance, which came to us 2 years later at the World Cup in France. We were dreaming about meeting Germany again. And it happened again in the quarterfinals. And we defeated them heavily. That was the heaviest defeat for German side in the World Cup competitions in the history, 3-0, you know. And that was a great feeling. And then after that, it came time for disappointment, you know, losing to France 2-1 against the France, which was not the best team at that tournament, although they won it. But there were few sides who were better than France at that time, especially Holland, who we defeated for the bronze medal. I think we were better than France in that tournament. Brazil played better than France in that tournament, although they were defeated with all these Ronaldo problems in the final about sponsors and everything, you know. So anyway, we got back home as a winners, which was really important for us. We won the medal at the World Cup. You know, big disappointment in the semifinals against France was obviously difficult for us to accept, but we didn't have time for crying. Because in a 3-day time, there was another game coming at us. And it was the question, are we going to go back home as a defeated team or as a winner? You know, it makes huge, huge difference. And that was it. I played in the best league in the world with Derby County and West Ham United. In 96, I was voted by all the managers the best player of all Conference League in England, which I earned with Derby County, playing for them and representing them and bringing them back to the Premier League. And I enjoyed my time in England. Also, 2 years in Spain helped me to mature my football, to get some experience at the international level. It helped me a lot, you know. And although having the major success with one Croatian team playing in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, which was season 94-95, when he won the treble in Croatia, Super Cup, Cup and the championship, also losing to Ajax in two legs, who became European championship that year. So many, many good memories, many things I can talk to my kids these days, and they are already asking questions, especially the young one who is left-footed and he loves football. So I expect him to represent Croatia in some 15-year time there, somewhere.
And Solidik Chetiri recently paid you the visit to your home, and I think you shared the pictures on your social media handles. Those are lovely pictures. How was the experience for your kids to, you know, meet him, and for you also to host them, the Solidik Chetiri and his wife at your home?
My youngest one, Nico, he's 5 years old now in a few days' time, and he's obsessed with football. He follows each and every one of our games. And when I told him that Sunil is coming to visit Croatia and that he's going to meet him, he was the happiest kid in the world. But let's not forget, a few days prior to that, he was with Luka Modric, and he was coming out when there was a game, Croatia against France here in Split. He was in the line with other boys on the pitch in front of the players for the national anthems. And he already had many pictures with the great players, but I could feel that there was a different kind of excitement when Sunil was here with us, because he knows that Sunil brings glory to India, and Sunil brings happiness to our home also, because my kids can feel how their father is when he comes back home from India with the bad results and with the good results. They can notice the difference, so they appreciate Sunil very much.
See, another thing that, you know, why Sunil Chetri is kind of appreciated more maybe from other players. That comes naturally to the people, you know, to praise strikers more than the defender.
But they are not 5 year old. They are not 5 year old.
That's great. Coach, just last couple of things before we cut this off. What would inspire you to be the coach after you, because you had a great career as a football player, what was the inspiration to move into the coaching side of the game?
That was my ambition from the very early stage. You know, throughout my playing career, I was monitoring the coaches' work, how they handle man-to-man management, how they handle the pressure, how they approach the players on individual basis, how they handle team meetings. All these things are really important to me and interested me at the early stage. For some reason, I didn't get the chance earlier to do what I wanted to do, because I was one of the first shareholders of one football club in Croatia, and not because I wanted to become one. It was the situation with my hometown club, which was near the bankruptcy, and four of us ex-players decided to save the club and give our own money to do so. And at that time, we started helping on a voluntary basis to our club to survive and giving ourselves our hearts, our money, our time for 5 years. And that didn't give me enough time to go further with my coaching, because I was strongly attached to the club. But when the episode finished, I decided to go for it, you know, and that was it. Since then, I'm heavily involved with Croatian Football Federation, mostly because whoever is from my generation of these footballers we were speaking about, we are strongly attached to our football organization, helping in development programs, attending all the necessary meetings, giving advice, strong connection with president, whoever he is. And that's something which needs to be done in India also, because football belongs to footballers, you know. Football doesn't belong to politicians. Football doesn't belong to others. Yes, we need their help. We appreciate it. We need sponsors. We appreciate them. But just because someone is giving money for you to operate, that doesn't mean they should owe you, you know. So they need to understand that we represent India. At this point, we are there representing the huge country of great culture, country which great aim of becoming successful in football. And for such reason, they need to give us the tools to make Indian people happy.
And coach, last question, what did you find more challenging, playing at the top level or coaching a football team?
Playing is always much easier, you see, because when you are a player, you need to think about yourself only. How to prepare yourself the best possible way and to give your qualities to the team on the pitch so the team can perform better. As a coach, you need to monitor everything. You need to screen everyone. You need to screen behaviors. You need to learn how to read body language, how to read even when players are not saying anything from their faces. It's really, really difficult job, and whoever decides to be coach, it's not 1 hour a day, it's 24 hours. And my players know that when we are together, that I barely sleep 3 to 4 hours. And I feel good with that. I don't have problem with that. But analysis prior to the training session, after training session, analyzing everything, maintaining the process of meetings on individual basis, line basis, team basis with the players, explaining the wrongdoings and making sure we don't repeat mistakes, making sure that everyone feels comfortable, but with enormous amount of hunger. When I say comfortable, you know that I'm against this word. You could notice this already in this interview, but I want my players to feel confident about what we do. And for anyone to become creative as you want him to, you need to make him comfortable. Being with you, spending time with you, talking to you, opening to you. That's our biggest achievement until now, you know. Because never mind how many bad times we went through in the last 3 years, we never lost the faith. Not a single player, not a single part of the medical staff, technical staff, or myself. We knew what we were doing. We knew what we need to do in the future. And that's the same now. We are family which cares about each other. They know that I will never do injustice to anyone, never. They know that all they got, they need to earn on the training pitch. As simple as that. And that's who I am as a coach, keeping it simple. Filtering information to my players, that's why I work so much. I could give so many informations to them and they will not remember a single one. That's not kind of work you can provide to your players. You need to filter information and make sure that free information on a daily basis you give to them, they take it and they keep it. So they don't repeat mistakes. And that's our biggest achievement of the year. You know, so we know that we have at the moment very stable squad, although very, I would say, one of the best young squads in Asia. Because if you just think that three senior players who are with us and who are our strength, if we speak about Gurpreet, Sandesh and Sunil, one is 37, one is 30, one is 28, you know, without them, our team average age is 22. With them, we are 26 year old, still 3 years younger than Cambodia. You know, so that's our strength. That's our work for the past 3 years. That's how we got paid for patience. That's how we got paid for trusting into youngsters and giving the chance to them. Even it was a big risk for us as a staff, for me as a coach. And we did it because we knew what we were doing, although it was not too clear for many of the people from the public. But also we didn't have much of a chance to speak loudly and to express ourselves and to explain our plans. And although whenever I was speaking with our officials and our people in AIFF, we were always planning everything based on the 7-year-long plan. 7 year, and my contract was 2. So it was kind of difficult for me because already after 3 months of my contract, public was starting to raise questions, you know, is the coach contract going to be renewed or no? And I'm making 7-year-long plans for the AIF. So it doesn't come together, you see. Just to clarify one more thing, which was said earlier, because, and I mentioned my salary in Indian football. I never mentioned that, pointing out that I should be paid more. I didn't come for money to India. I came to India because of the challenge and because I recognized the potential. That's the reason. That was just my answer to those who were saying, why is coach becoming loud? He's paid that much and that much. I'm paid much less than I'm worth. Is that much for anyone in India? I don't care. But I didn't come for the money reasons. And that will not be part of my negotiation with the future president or technical committee or whoever is there. The most important thing for me to stay with India, and I will do everything from my part to do so, is, are you going to give me the tools to make Indian national team successful or not? That's it. So it's not a money question. You understand what I'm saying? So it's time, it's the budget, and a good relation with all the stakeholders involved, because everyone needs to understand that in such situation we are in at the moment, everyone needs to sacrifice something. Everyone, for the sake of Indian name. And I'm quite sure everyone will do that.
Hope so, and because the upcoming next 1 year is a big for Indian football. Not just AFC Asian Cup is there at the end of the season. There is also Asian Games, which will take place just after the AFC Asian Cup. And Asian Games is another opportunity where you can play, say, top countries, Japan, South Korea. You can get games against them, and that's a good challenge for our under 23 team, which can be our senior
team. That's a great
team.
Challenge.
Yeah,
we could see already in under 23 qualifiers how close we were there against these sides, and we missed qualifying just for a point, I think. But at the end, we defeated one Oman. So if we can defeat Oman at the age of 20-21, then surely if we work good with these players, next 3-4 years, we're going to start defeating Oman at the senior level. also, you know. So I'm very confident about these boys also, but worried again and going back, because salaries provided to them are challenged to them, you know. ISL is not making too much competitiveness for them, because there is no relegation, there is no pressure. After a while, seven clubs are already fighting for nothing, let's say, because there is no danger for them to be relegated, and that's not good for these boys. If these boys are satisfied with what they achieve now, we're going to lose them. We're going to lose them, simple as that. They need to understand there are others, many others in India now knocking on their door and looking to replace them. And they need to understand whoever is giving them salary today, the same, very same guy will replace them tomorrow. If they lose the hunger, if they stay in the comfort zone, this is really important for us as a nation to go forward. You know, we have many talented young players who we've seen last couple of years, performing really well, doing really great, but in ISL. Some of them did it now already with the national team, but against lower-ranked sides. Now it's time for them to prove, can they do that against higher-ranked teams? Yeah. That was still not the case. So these are the steps we are going through.
And you know, just after the Asian Cup, Asian Games, there will be World Cup qualifiers straight away. So it's a big, yeah, big next 12 to 24 months for the Indian football team, you know, because that's the next stage we want to into, you know, we want to do well in the World Cup qualifiers. As a realistic Indian football fan, I'm not hoping India will qualify for World Cup, say, next 10 years. We want to be competitive in all these official games which play, which will help us to boost our FIFA ranking and which can, you know, can kind of bring the revolution for football in India. Coach, a big, big thank you from my side and from my team side for joining us today from Croatia. To our all the viewers and listeners, you can listen to all the Beyond the Score podcast episode at your leisure on Spotify, iTunes, JioSaavn, Gaana and all other major platforms. You can also catch them in the video form on our Khelnao's YouTube channel, which is Khelnao TV. Until next time, this is your host Ashish Negi signing off. Thank you very much.